Lord, please be with me this morning as I share on this talk and finish it up from yesterday. The continuity and just the sense of thoughts you've been impressing on me this year. In Christ's name, amen. In review, yesterday I shared a fair amount about my father, his passing last June. And it's like I've been stuck in a passage in the Bible all year, and I've been meditating and studying and thinking about it. And I spent time reflecting on my dad and who he was and his character. We read a passage, and then we introduced the concept, I've expanded just this death to start thinking about transitions in life. And so then we talked about when you have transitions, it always is the way things were, but then a transition shifts into the way they will be, but in the middle of the transition, you don't yet know from experience how it will be. And so transitions you hit, and it's an unsettling thing in life, but it's going to happen to every one of us. It's not if, it's when. But it's just the natural. It's like child leaving home, college, work, and you're single. Then when you get married, there's a shift there. You're taking on a mate, and you start operating with intimacy, but as a team. And life is different because you have to think of another person. As a man, you have to think of another person. Then you have a child. Oh my, there's a child. Now I'm totally responsible. This little thing is totally dependent on me, period. And then as that child, have more children, then over time, it's like they're totally dependent, and the process of child rearing is to make them independent of you. So you're trying to help them become mature in time, over time. Then they leave, and it tears your heart, but at the same time, that's what you wanted to have happen. That's the whole idea. So then you move to this empty nest. Then you have older parents that they become more dependent. And then it's like coupled with retiring or shifting on the work thing and them passing away. And it's this cycle. It's always moving, but it's in transition. And then over here, different guys, we got them just to throw up stuff about other things that are transitional. Loss of spouse, either death or divorce. The whole shift in perspective, like Jeff was talking about, your program from the world, but now you're trying to rewrite that program through Christ, non-Christian to Christian. Children marry, then you have grandchildren. I remember John threw that up. That's one that I hadn't thought of, I guess, because I hadn't gotten through that one, huh? School to work to career, relocation, moving, changing new community and relationships. We were just talking about transitions. Now what I want to do, turn to Deuteronomy 34. We opened the question, why are transitions hard? I remember it was somebody said that we don't like change. And then there's the sense of the new. It's the unknown and new. But see, a transition will hit us emotionally, mentally. It's a life shift. It's an upheaval like an earthquake. I want to point out a couple of observations in Deuteronomy 34. I'll start 34:1 in Deuteronomy 34. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah opposite Jericho, showed him the land. The Lord showed him the land, Gilead as far as Dan, Naphtali, the land. 3, the Negev, the plain of the valley. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." You remember, Moses had sinned. He struck the rock twice instead of speak to the rock. Remember? And then God said, "For that, you won't enter." So he's keeping his word to him, but Moses is paying the price for him not obeying God, basically. And so he's going to let him see it, but he won't get to go in. All right, read verse 5 through 7.
So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished.
Isn't that something? Moses is called by God his servant. Moses is the servant of the Lord. He dies according to the word of the Lord, and the Lord buried him. And what, nobody knows where he's buried. I'd say that's a personal relationship with God. What do you think? But interesting that Moses still died. See, we Christians, we're going to die. It's just, it's an appointment. It's one appointment everybody's going to keep, and they're not going to be late. It's going to be on time. So either Jesus comes back or we leave, but either way, we have an appointment. Moses died. God buried him. And notice verse 7. It makes a point. I studied on these verses for a while. Moses was 120. That's longer than we think that we're going to live. His eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated, says one translation. He still had oomph in him. It wasn't like he was laying on his deathbed because he's completely shot. The guy could still move around. He could still function. He's all right. He's moving on. But now why did he die? Well, verse 5 says, according to the word of the Lord. So I got to thinking, can I apply this in general then to transitions? So there would be the natural, and then there's the word of the Lord. You know, it's like a lot of things. John talked about cause and effect last night, the seven laws of the harvest. And I hope y'all really been thinking about that and discussing how that applies in your life, those seasons of life and those seven laws. What you sow, you're going to reap. It's a natural law. I sin. Oh, God can forgive me. I can get, according to 1 John 1:9, I get forgiveness, which is from me to Him. And I can get cleansing, which is mopped up inside me. So He can really clean me up on the sin issue. But now, what about cause and effect? See, He doesn't stop that one. You can get forgiveness, but you can't necessarily stop the results or what you set in motion. So you get drunk. You drive. This is the easy one, you know. You hit a tree. Well, you can get forgiveness. You can get cleaned up with God. You can get cleaned up inside. You still got a total car and a broken leg, and God ain't going, you know, it's cause and effect here. Now think in your life, see decisions you make and think, and here's transitions. Alright, is it natural? So is what I'm going through my own doing? Or is it by the word of the Lord? Now that, it's really been interesting to me just to take those two camps and look at stuff that hits me and that I'm going through. And I don't know, somehow that really helps. Is this a natural thing, either in life or cause and effect? Or is this something that just fell out of the sky? Now when it did on the sky, see, it's almost like the hand of God is right there. I can handle it kind of. I can handle it on the other too, but I don't know, it's just helped me. So I've thought through on different things and I won't go into that. Death is natural, but its timing, I think, is by the word of the Lord. Because, you know, we know people like this. We know people that have just naturally expired, died of old age. I've heard that before. But then others, they don't. You know, it's like by the word of the Lord. How to deal with big changes and transitions. And I want to present to you two thoughts from this passage. Look at verse 8. Let Kurt read that.
So verse 8, the Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over.
Now, There was a definite period of grieving. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And like with us in the South, we have wakes, we have visitations. With my dad, it was a visitation. It was amazing. The people that came by, I met so many people, and every one of them had some little something they wanted to tell about Dad. And it was phenomenally encouraging. I know I've been to these wakes and these visitations. You know, we have this in the South. It's our way. I know in different places in our country, they don't do it this way. But we'll have the body in view and the family, and you stand in line and go around. You know what I'm talking about. Well, that was a blessing to this old boy. I had people come up. Let me tell you about your dad. Let me tell you what your daddy did. And I was just amazed. You know, I was just so encouraged and built up. So I want to throw that out to you just as an encouragement. Don't skip those. And when you know someone and they pass away and their family's there, when you go through, don't try to minister to them and help them on why it happened. Go to Job 6:14. For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend, lest he forsake the fear of the Almighty. What we tend to try to do, what Job's friends tried to do, was entertain the question of why did this happen? Now, we all know Job's comforters. That's awful. You don't want Job's comforters around you when you're going through hard times, when these transitions hit. But this verse gives you ideas, and Job was saying this to them. He says, when a guy's in despair, when he's hit with some big thing, guys, I don't need you reason with me why this happened. What I need is a kindness. You see it? For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend, lest he forsake the fear of the Almighty. Don't you always wonder what to say? Like someone passed away and you're in those lines and you wonder, what do I say? You don't need to say a thing. You just need to be kind. That's what you need to do. Now that's just a side thought, but the Lord showed me that when I was studying through Job one time. There should be kindness. So when you've got a friend or when you're going through, when people are going through a transition that's a big shift, what do they need? They need advice? No. They need kindness. The outstretched arm, the hey, let's talk. The listening ear, a little time. Just some kind words or a kind action or just something like you buy them something or take them out. Just something like that. That means a lot when you're going. A lot of things when you go through them, nobody can really help you go through them. You have to go through them. So what is a friend there for? A friend is there to be a friend. And we try to fix them or something like that. We usually take in our world about 3 days someone passes away. Was this a week, 3 days? No, it was a whole month. A month of grieving. Well, I've asked why. Well, I think it's because of the bigness of the situation. One of the mistakes that I think that I have made when I hit a transition in life, it's one of two things. It's either I don't face the reality of it, I don't see it. It's like a blindside thing and I don't treat it like it's a transition or something hit me. Or next, I just move on too quickly. And what's interesting is when Moses died, God, Joshua, the people, everybody, they took time to grieve. They took time. They made time. Now, that's interesting to me. And when I extrapolate that to the big picture of transitions, when things hit us, we need to take time to look at it. Now, we know 1 John 1:9. All right, somebody quote it. We confess. Good. I'd say the whole room said it. Man, that sounds good. Turn there. Let's all turn there. Tevin, would you read 8 through 10?
1 John 1, 8 through 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, We make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.
I think this is really a powerful little context. See, 9 is what we ought to do. We confess it. We get it out in the open. Confess. You lay it forward. You lay it out very openly, very clearly. You're owning up to it. You're admitting it. It's right there in front of God and everybody. But what about 8 and 10? Exactly the opposite, isn't it? Exactly the opposite. So you're denying it. It's true. You're avoiding it. You're thinking it'll go away. That is exactly how not to deal with sin. Y'all just move on. No. The way to deal with sin with Jesus present in your life, and it's talking to believers, is you face that sucker squarely and you get it out on the table and you look at it and you really own up to it. It's just all over you. And that's the way he's able then to take it away from you. The forgiveness has to do with me to God. The cleansing has to do all in me. He's mopping me up, cleaning me out. The guilt, the shame, the regret, the hurt. See, all that. That little 9 is excellent. We use that in our beginning with Christ. But 8 and 10, let's not forget, is what you don't do. But see, transitions, I think, are like this, just like sin. They come on us and they hit us, and our problem is that we don't face them squarely. We won't see it as reality. Sometimes we aren't even aware when it hits. I remember how many times have something's happening in my family, and I call John, and we're talking about something, and there's a little silence, and he'll go, "Mark, what is, is." "Yeah, but this, but this. No, but that, but that." What is, is. Is it reality? See, we'll paint it or look at it this way or that way. If it's reality, it is reality. And things will happen, and we will try to color them or make them be not what they are or make them to be something else. To look at something squarely, what is it? 50% of any problem is actually seeing it. Isn't that the way it is? And you can figure out the solution once you figure out the problem. It's the seeing it squarely. See, when someone dies, there needs to be a time of grieving. Isn't there 5 phases of grief going through that? Isn't that taught a lot? Something like that. These guys, back to 34, Deuteronomy 34. These guys set aside a month because Moses to them, remember, was all that is known as a leader. Period. We either won't face reality or we'll move too quickly. We want to fix it. We want to solve. See, the unsettled feeling of transitions cause us to try to move too fast. In every transition, I want to tell you there's a sense of loss. Now you just think about it. Every one of these that are just natural. I remember getting married, and then I look back, and there's a sense. It's exciting, and then it's just a shift. There's a sense of loss because I'm not this free bird single anymore. I've got, when you get a child, each one chains you down more, but it's the plan of God. But there's loss involved. When you come over here, every major transition has a sense of loss to it. Now think about that. That is true. So a death is very clear. They're really gone. But the other things aren't so much, but they're nevertheless true. There's a sense of loss. Face loss squarely. Own up to it. Let it sit on you. Think of death like grieving a death. Don't either pretend it's not there or move too quickly to fix it. Another observation I made, how to deal with big changes and transitions, is what I would call proceed with the Lord. Now, they wept 30 days and 8. It says in 9 through 12 about Joshua and Moses commenting about them. Now, I want to pick it up in Joshua 1. Go to Jim over here. Read 2 verses, Joshua 1 and 2.
Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.
All right, Gary, two more. Let's just go two each down.
I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
All right, everybody that can quote Joshua 1:8, stand up. All right, you ready? We're going to quote it together. Go. This book of the law Very good. Sound like a choir. Have a seat. Have a seat. It's excellent. Excellent. Now, I learned that verse within the first year of my Christian life because I'd gotten going in topical memory system, but I never knew its context. And when I read its context, I didn't even understand it. I didn't understand why it was there. Doesn't it kind of stand out like a sore thumb? It's like, what? Because you think of serious about God, serious about His Word, keeping His Word in your heart, in your life, meditating on it day and night. You want to then obey it, be careful to do it, and then God's going to be with you. He's going to prosper you as you go, and blah, 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 blah. And they're talking about fighting a war. And you're going, what? The context is just... But in the sense of what I'm talking about here, it really makes sense. I've come to understand more deeply what was going on with that verse 8 in its context, just going through all this with my dad this past year and thinking about it. All right. 34 verse 5, Moses dies. Verse 6, Deuteronomy, God buries him. Verse 8, the people mourn. They grieve. They take time to embrace it. They don't just move on and they don't pretend it didn't happen. They're really embracing it. It's life. It's real. Joshua 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua. And this is what he said. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, boy, get up. It's your turn. You get up. You and all this people, you go cross the Jordan to the land I'm giving to them. It's time to go. Isn't that interesting? Yes, there's a transition. Yes, I want to own it. Yes, I want to go into it seeing it. Then I got to move on. There's a time. This is a God thing. Moses is dead. Go. That's what he's saying. Is he hurrying it? No. It's just time to move on. Isn't that something? Time to move on. And all these changes and shifts, you have to go on into the way things are going to be for them to get there. If you stay here, well, you can't stay there. It ain't that way anymore. It's changed. But we're in our transition and we hurt and we feel and we hurt. There is a time for that. But then there's a time to move on. Isn't that true? But how do you proceed? Well, I'm just going to say you proceed with God. You proceed with the Lord. It was Him that came to Joshua and said, see, He's back at it. He picks up with Joshua. They move forward. It's not premature. He allowed time for embracing the transition. It is paced. We're not talking 3 days a week. We're talking a whole month. It's paced. Turn to Job 23, 8 through 14. And we're going to start and read that. Just two verses each.
But if I go to the east, He is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find Him. When He is at work in the north, I do not see Him. Then He turns to the south. I catch a glimpse of Him.
But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed His steps. I have kept to His way without turning aside.
Verse 12, I have not departed from the commandment of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. But He is unique, and who can make Him change? And whatever His soul desires, that He does.
For He performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with Him.
Isn't that amazing? Here is Job, who has lost everything, even his health. I don't know if he lost his wife. She was the one that said, curse God and die. I don't know if he lost her. But remember, he lost all his sons and daughters. He lost everything he owned. And then he lost his health. Now here's his reflections. He looks for God and he can't find God. Have you ever felt that way? In a transition when something happened and there's this sense of loss and things are shifting? He looks around, it's like, where's God? Where's God? But yet, he knows that God knows the way he takes. And he knows this. That see, we use the word luck, and I do. I don't know, sometimes it's just, you know, we use that. But boy, I don't know. God's all over us. He's all over our lives. When He has tried me, I come forth as gold. If all this mess happened to you that happened to Job, would you look at it as just a trial from God and He's trying to purify me? Oh. He says, but as far as my walk, I've held fast to Him. I haven't turned aside. In verse 12b, I've treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Sound like Joshua 1:8? Yeah. Similar, see, I'm saying that Joshua 1:8 has to do with a nation and leadership and they're fixing to go to war, and but it's this massive transitional shift. And here's Job, he's had a personal hit. Same kind of thing, massive things in his life, and what is he doing? He's going to the Lord with it, and he's got the Word of God central, just like that Joshua 1 passage has. Isn't that cool? The Word of God should always be right there with me, because it builds my faith. It is what I need. And then his perspective in 13:14, God is so unique that no one can come to Him and manipulate Him. He is unique. Who can turn Him? What His soul desires, guess what He does? He does that. He performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with Him. There's natural, but there's by the word of the Lord. Things are going to happen in my life that God is all over it. I can bank on that. This isn't an accidental something. I'm following Him with Jesus in my heart, and His word is a dynamic part of my life. Things happen. Transitions natural, and stuff happens. I got to believe this way. I've got to bank on this. Go back to Joshua 1. I want you to note God's pledge in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, cross this Jordan to the land which I am giving them. It was God's promise that He's given it. Look at verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. Same thing. I've given it to you. Look at verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now remember who's saying this. Now if I told you this, I will not fail you, I will not forsake you, Seth Huber. No matter what comes, I'm with you. You go, man, that Mark, he's my friend. And you like me. But you know what? Man's best is an intention, isn't it? Can I be sure? Can you be sure that will happen? No, because we don't know what's going to happen, right? We don't know what's going to happen. My intention is to do that. But now when God says it, what's different? Oh, He writes the script. He writes the script. When it thunders, He decides when it does. When it lightens, He decides when it does. There's nothing going to happen that surprises this guy. So when He says, I will be with you, I will not fail you, I will not forsake you, oh, you can take that one to the bank. When another guy does, it's his intention. And that's a good intention. Now, why would He say that? Look what flows. He then says three times, I've given it, I'm with you, da 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 da, it's me, it's my idea. And then three times, and six, He says, be strong and courageous. And seven, be strong and very courageous. And nine, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, right? Yes, that's right. And you go, well, the need is there, isn't it? I mean, they're going into a land they're going to take. Here I am in my circumstances in life. What? I need strength. I need courage. What does that mean? I was shocked. I want you to turn to Exodus 4:21. Next person read Exodus 4:21.
The Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go.
That word harden is our word strong. Be strong and courageous. Isn't that odd? So you perform all these signs, but Moses, what I'm going to do, I'm going to harden his heart. Now, how hard was that heart? Was the old Chevrolet? Like a rock. It's hard. I did a count. I took my Strong's Concordance, found the Hebrew word. I went and I did a count on all the times he uses the word hard with referring to Pharaoh's heart. There's two other words, but they're minimal. This exact word is used 12 times through this whole narrative about Moses, God, and Pharaoh, about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. Several times he hardens his own. Several times God hardens it. Point is, it's hard like a rock. Now what does God want them to have in their resolve? Be strong, He says. Now what kind of strong is that? That's some inner strength, I'd say, wouldn't you? Be real strong. As hard as a rock, like Pharaoh's heart was hard. That's the hard. That's the strong you're to be. Who knows? 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord. Let's go. That's this word strong. It's the rock strong. The eyes of the Lord. I just get the idea of this big old eyeball just looking around. And He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody whose heart is sold out to Him. And what's He going to do for you? He's going to show Himself, and it's this word. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and it's this word. That's what God is going to do for you. So how should you be when you hit these situations? It's this way strong. We're talking real strong here. Inner resolve, inner strength with the sense of the Lord God with you, showing Himself strong on your behalf, the same word. I mean, I got chill bumps. It's like went zing, zing, zing. You ever get that when you're in the Word and you see something, it just goes bam. This word courage, back on, go to Joshua 1 again. It means, there wasn't much in the Hebrew there. It was one of those weird ones that the word courage means quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, or pain without fear. It's the thing that would melt you to your knees, but it doesn't.
Courage.
Who said that? The Cowardly Lion in Wizard of Oz. That's what he needed. What did he need? He needed something in him to enable him to face a situation that he would just get so afraid. It's like his knees wilt in the thought of going through this.
Courage.
That's what God is wanting to give. The Middle English, our English word translating this thing, comes from, is courage, C-O-R-A-G-E. Core meaning heart. And age meaning years of age. Isn't that interesting? So it's the heart seasoned with age, understanding situations. The strength of the Lord is needed when we hit messes, when we hit natural shifts and earthquakes in our life. We need to know He's with us. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro. And He's going to show Himself strong on our behalf. We need to be strong. And then that inner strength then, see, gives us the ability to have a soundness to face the external without fear. It's always become known, it's a metaphor for inner strength in one's thoughts and heart. Hence, bravery. The idea of the brave heart is courage. The strength inside from the Lord gives you the courage to face the situations. That's what God was saying. Isn't that powerful? So how does verse 8 play into that? It fits, doesn't it? It fits now. Finally, in my brain, I figured out how 8 fits in this context. I never had figured it out. 8 is the key to it. Now, all Joshua had was what Moses had written. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all he had. That was the book of the law. Now evidently God thought highly of that law. He said, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. The word meditate literally means in the Hebrew to murmur. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You should murmur on it all the time. I think we might include, should I read it? Yes. I think we might include, if I have any questions, should I go look them up and study it? And yeah. I think we might include other people, because talking and people hearing and talking back and forth and one-to-one over the Bible, yeah. I think we could include memory. Laying on your bed, meditating, through the day, meditating. Now, what would that do? If we were to practically have this living sense of God's Word in us, what would that do in situations like this? In the situation they were facing? Wouldn't it literally bring the presence of God in them through His words, living in them, in their mind, so that they would have this strength, this rock hardness, to have the courage to face the situation? Wouldn't that be? Yes, that would be. Jim Downing said, and I should have called him on this, he told me one time that he hated calling what we do disciplines. Because disciplines, what does that conjure up? You know, it's the military. It's like, you gotta do it, you gotta do it, you gotta do it. He didn't like it calling it. What would we call then reading your Bible, studying your Bible, sharing and discussing and going over and back and forth on your Bible, memorizing your Bible? What would you call that? Where you chew on it, meditate on it, and it's all a part of you. Would you call it a discipline? Well, you got to do it. It's something you could put on a do list. But it would be the exercise, the needed things I need to do to experience this from the Lord. How about that? I have been so encouraged in my walk with God this year through the death of my father and through extrapolating out into circumstances. This right here that I want to share it with you. And I have. So I'm done. We can go to lunch. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the food ahead of us. Thank you for the beautiful day. Help us have a good time with sports. Help us have a good time fellowshipping. Lord, there are guys here that are going through it, almost hell probably. I don't know of many. There are others of us who have been through transitions and we're in the middle of them and they're yet ahead. Help us, Lord, to remember the lessons you have shown transitioning from Moses to Joshua. Help us to take these thoughts and to use them. Help us to be men who are serious about you and our walks with you. Men who are open to helping others. Men who are lovers of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.